roadside cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South, sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Stella Cup CJ Pearson will join us here in just a few moments. We'll talk about his take on the Alabama Senate race. Has an interesting sort of a piece here, I guess. The title of the piece here from Gateway Pundits, where it's posted: Trojan horse candidate waging war on conservatives in Alabama, and the allegation is that third place candidate as of right now, Mike Durand, is some kind of a Trojan horse candidate. We'll let him talk about that and get into it and all of that. So that's coming up here in just a few minutes. Just a few thoughts on the gubernatorial race. We had Tim James on yesterday. And I know he was kind of come out swinging, throwing haymakers. Also talked a little maybe about the bridge and the Bayway that maybe, you know, I don't know that, you know, 50 to 75 years left on the Bayway does seem a little far-fetched, but he did acknowledge that he was not up to speed on these things. That's the thing, though, guys. I talked at length about this yesterday. KIV's vulnerabilities, I think, is infrastructure. A lot of people don't like the way she forced through Rebuild Alabama. And a lot of people don't like the way she handled the I-10 situation. If you're running against KIV, you better be up on the I-10 bridge situation. You better know your talking points. You better have this laid out. Look, it's fine if you want to talk about yoga and medical marijuana. And I get it. I think there is a path there. I'm not ready to see the social, cultural, conservative vote. But to me, if you really want to make some hay, you really want to pick up some votes, because remember, winning elections is a game of addition, not subtraction. You better be up on that. You better be up on the ins and outs of the I-10 bridge by now if you're running for governor. You had 6 months. Everybody speculated, is he going to run or isn't he? And you're the bridge guy. Why aren't you up on this? Get some policy advisors. Get somebody to coach you up on this. That's what you do. That's where you hit her. And you take her own words and you make an ad out of them. And you make it, you know, you put on there about this goofy notion that we're going to have a toll authority meeting and that's where the solutions need to come from, or whatever that was. Whatever that mangled plan was in 2019, you revisit that and you say, do you want more of this or do you want this? And then the other thing you do is I think you have to go after on the COVID stuff. Well, rightly or wrongly, but some of this about the normal people getting vaccinated and the other people not, or you make an ad out of that. I mean, you got to look at the controversies of this governor if you're running as a challenger, if you're running this guerrilla kind of campaign, if you are the if you are the person that's going to wage against a well-funded, solidly backed by the Montgomery establishment candidate, you got to start hitting where the vulnerabilities are. And if you don't know what's going on with the Mobile I-10 bridge at Bayway, what are you doing? How much are you spending on time on the rest of this stuff? How seriously, and this was my struggle with this, like, how seriously were you considering your gubernatorial chances? I know if Jeff Poore were to run for governor, I'd have gone through every scenario in my head, from Muscle Shoals to the Wiregrass. How am I going to win here? How am I going to win here? How am I going to win here? So, I mean, we'll see. It remains to be seen that that's going to be the case. But a little disappointed in that.
Hello, Canada.
But give me a here's what I want. Give me a reason not to want Kay Ivey to get reelected. We gotta get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us. We're awaiting the arrival of C.J. Pierce, who's supposed to join us here. I got a column. The column is Trojan Horse Candidate Waging War on Conservatives in Alabama. And it just talks about this. A super PAC being funded by unreliable or not very friendly to Donald Trump allies there. And the thinking there is that why are they backing Mike Durant? And that's coming into this state, and it's, you know, the seedy underbelly of politics and political financing. So there is that. Also on the program today, run through the lineup here real quick. State Senator Dan Roberts, a taxation bill to look at. Also from Alabama today, April Marie Fogel, we'll catch up with her. Sean Ross from the Katie Britt campaign. And State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, will be with us. So please stay tuned for that. I think we got him on the line now. C.J. Pearson got a piece up at Gateway Pundit. C.J., good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. So we talked a little bit about your piece this morning, your Gateway Pundit piece. Can you walk us through it, if you would?
Yeah, definitely. So what that piece was really all about is the fact that, you know, for me, you know, I haven't made any endorsement in the Alabama Senate campaign. But one thing I'm committed to is America First and really the President Trump's agenda. And, you know, as I, you know, kind of looked at, you know, who Mike Durant was and who was backing him, what we saw was something that was really troubling to me. It was Lincoln Project allies rallying behind him, similarly in a way that they're doing in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, they're backing the Democrat candidate for Senator Connor Lamb. And here, they're doing it with Mike Durant. And it begs the question. You know, I think when you have an unknown commodity like Mike Durant running for a position as important as who will be our next voice in the U.S. Senate representing our state, who is backing him? And I think that tells a very different story than the story that Mike Durant is telling in the context of he's branding himself as a Trump Republican, but how can we truly believe that if some of the Lincoln Project's most ardent backers are the ones supporting his campaign?
Well, tell me, how did you stumble upon this? That, you know, this is something. It is certainly a revelation, I think, and worth investigation. But how did you come about this?
Yeah, so I've been in, you know, Trump world since, you know, 2016. I worked on the president's campaign back then, you know, working on his youth effort, and then of course in 2020 as well. And I've been, you know, deeply ingrained in the election integrity fight. And so this was, you know, there were some mumblings going around in Trump world, and I was like, you know, let's look into it. You know, if this is true, then it's all publicly available information. So that's exactly what I did. You know, you look at the FEC filings, you look at all of those things as far as the contributions behind this Alabama Patriots PAC. It all leads back to this one guy, Jack Harriman, who is deeply tied to Lincoln Project. It's also staffed by staffers who are the former political director of the Lincoln Project. It's all literally registered the same PO box, and it's incredible. Because it just tells, again, it tells a very different story than what Mike Durant is telling the people of Alabama. He says he's a Trump Republican. But the Lincoln Project, as many of your listeners probably know, and of course, as you know, of course, was one of the most, you know, passionate opponents of the president throughout his entire 4 years of office. They fought to impeach him. They fought to discredit him. And they failed, of course. But at the end of the day, again, it begs the question, what do they believe that they can get from Mike Durant that they can't get from anyone else that's running in this primary?
Well, and you know, the Lincoln Project is they're not just anti-Trump, but they're anti-Republican. They're a I don't know, if you think of like a Liz Cheney or something, that's a Lincoln Project Republican, or, you know, you see a CNN Republican.
They're basically Democrats. They're just not honest enough with themselves to admit it at this point, right? Like, you know, it's interesting. It's one thing to be opposed to Donald Trump, you know, whatever, you know, do what you will. But at the same time, what we've seen is they're also backing Democratic candidates in different states who they believe are too prone to support the president's agenda. You know, when was it a bad thing to be America first, to put your state first, to believe in the policies that made America one of the most prosperous nations in the world? I think a lot of people in this country today are wishing for the Trump years, as we look around and we see, you know, empty shelves in our grocery stores, skyrocketing gas prices, inflation higher than it ever was before. And if you think that a Lincoln Project Republican is going to better any of those things, is really going to fight Joe Biden when it needs, when these fights need to be fought, I would argue with that, and I would say that that's wrong.
Well, what do you think they see in a guy like Mike Durant? And certainly people in this race in particular right now, the whole phenomenon of Mike Durant is this. He's got a good war story. He's apparently self-made, but, you know, a lot of that is, you know, kind of the strange world of government contracting or whatever. What do you think a group like Lincoln Project would see in a guy like Mike Durant?
That's the question, right? And I think that's the question that Mike Durant needs to answer publicly, is why are these people backing him and only him and not any other candidate in this primary? Why aren't they backing Mo Brooks? Why aren't they backing Katie Britt? What promises has he made, or what has he done behind the scenes that's made them think and give this impression of him that he truly is going to be amenable to their agenda and what they're fighting for? And again, to your point that you just raised earlier, is Lincoln Project, they aren't Republicans. They're Democrats and sheeps and wolf clothing. Like, this is literally an example of the fact that I think that this is duplicity of politics that people deplore. You know, you say one thing, but you do another when you're elected. But I think the truly point here is that Mike Durant just needs to be honest, and he needs to answer the question. You know, where do you stand on election integrity? Do you support, you know, why didn't he vote for the president in the Republican primary in 2016 or, you know, or even in 2020? He hasn't voted in a Republican primary since, I think it was 2008. I've voted in more Republican primaries than he has, and I'm 19 years old. And so I think, like, that's an interesting question that people need to answer. And it's one that, unfortunately, only Mike Durant can answer.
And there's other red flags here with Mike Durant's candidacy. I've been covering politics in the state for a while. I was casually aware of him when I was on in the Huntsville market. But he never seen him at a Republican meeting and just kind of shows up mid last year. Oh, what about this guy? He might run. He can finance. It did seem to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People want to like him. Who doesn't love an incredible war hero like himself? And none of this goes to his credit that, you know, I appreciate his service to our country. But I think what's so important to realize is that there's a separation between that record and also his record in politics. It just simply doesn't exist, and we have to simply take him at his word. But I think that when you look at the fact that the people that are behind him, the people that are backing him, are the same people that have sent the Republican Party into an absolute abyss, the people like Mitt Romney, the people like Jeff Flake, the people like Adam Kissinger, it tells you more of that story that a lot of people are wondering, who really is this guy? And I think you can tell a lot about a person by looking at their friends. And I've got to tell you, if those are his friends, I'm a little concerned. And I got to say, I don't think that those are the people that the people of Alabama want representing them. You know, I'm a student at the University of Alabama. You know, this is my new state. I love it so much. And the last thing that I need, especially after, you know, being a native Georgian, I mean, we already got two Democrats over there. We don't need a Democrat like representing this state.
Yeah, well, tell me, you know, you look at the Durant thing here. Is it possible he's spoiler candidate? And this was one of the questions that he is in this race just to take votes away from one candidate or the other. It's not clear who, but that he doesn't necessarily intend on being a United States senator, or maybe he does. I don't know. I mean, it remains to be seen. I try to keep an open mind, be objective about it, but you see where there's another possibility here.
Well, yeah, that's the concern. You know, someone raised that point to me, you know, after that article dropped, and it was totally lost upon me, is that he could have ran for Congress in Mo Brooks's seat, right? Like, he's from Huntsville. That's an open seat, you know, for someone who's looking to build a political record for himself, really looking to build a record of success. Why didn't he run for Senate? But someone with his story, someone with his ability to self-finance, it would have been a lot easier of a race than running for Senate. But he chose not to. He chose to get into a Senate primary where the president's already made an endorsement, where Katie Britt has locked up a lot of support across the state from influential folks who believe in her ideas and in her record. So why not run for Congress? And I think, to your point, it just only adds to that argument that maybe he has actually no intention of being United States Senator. It's simply, honestly, using this campaign as a vanity project at the expense of hardworking Alabamians.
Or just, yeah, you know, and vanity project may lead to something later, right? In Alabama, yeah. We do this. We sometimes we do this. You run a statewide campaign, and then you set yourself up to run for something later on. It's happened throughout the history here, but it is curious, like that he leans on his veteran status, but we don't really. It's hard to really know, like. Well, what are the building blocks? What are the foundations? What are your principles? What are the planks of your platform? That we're not really seeing much of that just yet. Whereas the other two candidates, I feel like Katie Britt has been everywhere in this state, and Mo Brooks, yeah. He has been in public life for a long time. He's a known commodity. But Mike Durant is kind of emerging as kind of a dark horse candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thing, I think, that remains to be seen. You know, we know where Mo has been, and we know where Katie stands, and that's the most troubling thing about all of this. It's just that article wasn't even, you know, I think, meant to really just discredit him altogether. It was just simply meant to just point out the fact that there are a lot of outstanding questions about this guy, who he is, and where he stands. And, you know, and I think when you look at the fight that our country is currently in today, we're looking at vaccine mandates, we're looking at just ardent attacks on freedom. The left isn't making any qualms about what they're trying to do in this country today. They're seeking to undermine the foundation of this country and turn it into some socialist utopia. We need fighters in the U.S. Senate. We need people who aren't, you know, lukewarm conservatives. We need people who are going to have the same fight that President Trump had when it came to tackling these big issues. And when people like Jake Harriman and the Lincoln Project and all of their allies and their donors are putting the bill to put you on TV, I wonder why they think that you're their friend. And if they think you're their friend, I've got to say that the people of Alabama and conservatives should probably think that you're not their friend.
Well, and what do they see in him now? Is it possible this, that it's just so happens they look at Alabama, Jack Herman, these Lincoln Project allies, and they don't necessarily that maybe Mike Durant isn't aware of their support, but they're just looking at him as a lesser of the three evils or whatever.
Well, and that's what's interesting is, you know, it makes me kind of laugh sometimes because, you know, people in, like, painting, you know, Katie Britt as this establishment candidate, but she's not getting this establishment support from folks like the Lincoln Project and the John McCain and, you know, and his alumni and all those things. But it's Mike Durant in this race, which is troubling. And, you know, of course, you have big tech, you know, supporting candidates in this race. And it's just it just simply doesn't add up. You know, why are they putting their eggs all in this one basket? If Katie Britt really is this establishment candidate and if Mo Brooks is the guy that's going to switch up, right? You know, so they definitely have to have something. Maybe that me and you don't know that lends and gives them the impression that, you know, that Mike Durant is their guy and he would do their bidding if elected.
Joined by C.J. Pearson, some of you may know him, but a conservative commentator. It's a piece up on Gateway Pundit. Y'all go check it out. The name of the piece is the Trojan Horse Candidate Waging War on Conservatism in Alabama. C.J., What do you're plugged into Trump world? What do you think? What do you think's going on there with this race? That Trump did the rally in Coleman, but since then we haven't heard much from him on the Alabama Senate race.
Yeah, you know, I think the president, you know, he's made who he's supporting clear, but I think he's uneasy a little bit. You know, I think looking at, you know, I was involved in the election integrity fight following the November election. I was a nominee of the Electoral College representing the state of Georgia. So I was deeply ingrained in that fight. And Mo Brooks was there. But I think that when you come to the Trump rally and you tell people to move on from 2020 election, after having been in that fight, I think it makes people question, were you truly committed? And I think the president has also asked that question. And, you know, I think it's been publicly reported that the president just is just kind of like waiting for Mo Brooks to really break out and do something, which he just really hasn't done yet. You know, I think Mo is a great guy, a fighter, but I think that his performance has just been somewhat concerning to some people who have backed him in the past and who are backing him now.
What do you think Trump World thinks of Katie Britt? Now, there was some speculation. I know I was actually standing at the tent when all this took place. The Brits got their picture made with the president. They had an interaction there, and allegedly the Trump walked away kind of pleased with the meeting or something like that. Are you aware of anything like of that nature?
Yeah, so I've talked to some people who, like, the president really likes her. And, you know, and I think anyone who's met Katie Britt really likes her, right? And I think she's just, you know, an incredible person in that regard. But I think that the president, yeah, just from based on past behavior, I think the president's clear. You know, I don't think he's going to renege on an endorsement. But I think that, you know, when it comes to Katie Britt, he realizes that, you know, she's the future of this party in a lot of ways. And as someone who's young and who's been, you know, in the conservative movement since I was 12 years old, just fighting and, you know, just really wanting to help bring about a more conservative future for this country, I look up to people like her. But I think that if you look at Madison Cawthorn, for example, North Carolina, the president didn't endorse Madison Cawthorn in that primary. Madison Cawthorn went on to win that primary, became the youngest member of the United States Congress, and has been one of the biggest fighters for the president in the United States Congress. And I think that that's what we're probably going to see here, is the president's not going to be like, you know, hey, you know, go vote for Katie Britt. But I think he's going to just be very uninvolved because he realizes that, you know, Katie Britt's not a bad option for the people of Alabama, not a bad option for America First either.
Hey, CJ, we're up against a break. Folks want to find you online. Tell them where they can look.
Yeah, definitely. So they can check me out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at BCJ Pearson. And look forward to seeing them there. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for CJ Pearson, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of beating on the drum.